worry, I didn't bring my cell phone up here to play on it. I brung it up here for the time. I have a record, and I'm not going to break that record. I promised myself, so I will watch my time. I went to a church one time, and I was speaking about missions. And sometimes, you know how you get excited about something, and you start talking, and the Lord has blessed me with the gift of gab. And I just started talking away and stopped talking away and talking away. Before I knew it, I just couldn't see that clock way back there. This was a long church. And when I got done, I just hugged my head, down low, and I go, "I'm so sorry, Pastor. It was like an hour and a half." Whoops. I never did that one again. I started carrying my cell phone up to the pulpit so I could see what time it is. I want to thank God for what He means to me and how He's moving and working and how He inspires us sometimes and not knowing. Sometimes that's why He says that we walk by faith and we just don't know things sometimes. Some things are not seen yet, but we just know that they're going to happen. And I think we just hit the tip of the iceberg here at camp.
Yeah.
Glory.
Guess what icebergs have underneath them? A whole lot more.
That's
when we're dealing with the Holy Spirit and we're dealing with God, there's a whole lot more.
Glory.
We just have to be willing to dig down in there and get something out. And I encourage you tonight even to today and tonight and all the rest of camp, just dig in there because God won't fail you whenever with His Word. He will do what He's out to do and what He wants done. Different things. And show yourself worthy in any job that's given to you, whether it's great or it's small, because God sees everything. Sometimes I get to a certain point and I go, "Well, this job doesn't seem that important. No one will know." But then I saw still voices like, "But I see that you didn't do it." And it's like, "Oh." But it's a great responsibility to be able to come up and speak. And I'm a different kind of preacher. Some go off notes and I just go off of scriptures. That's probably what gets me in trouble sometimes. But it's just a learning curve that I've dealt with my whole entire life. I don't read and write very well, and I will be the first to admit it. So for those out there that struggle with that, it's a hope for you that God still can use you.
Amen.
God can use anyone, anyone who's willing to be used.
That's right.
And I'll say it to you this way. I had a great mentor in my life. Brother Eastman, he's caught me off guard several times. He's thrown the church off guard a few times with me because I was the offering taker. And then one day I wasn't the offering taker and it threw them all off. And I ended up being the song leader. Well, I really don't like singing. I love singing, but I don't know if I'm that good at singing and leading the songs. I'll put it that way. But out of respect of my leadership, I went up and I did as he asked. Not to be disrespectful to him, I did as I was asked. And I did the best I could, even though I know that sometimes I may seem like a crow. But we're going to get into the Word, and we're going to go into the Word in Exodus chapter 14, is where we're going to be. I don't know if I've ever spoken about this partial of Scripture any this way. Sometimes you see something, that's why it's called the living word. Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to go into this part, but I'm going to give you a little preliminary that God gave a promise to Abraham, and it was kept on going through Isaac, and it kept on going through Jacob, which his name became Israel, and then Joseph, and then several years, we're talking quite a few hundred years down the road. So it was a long journey, but God gave a promise. And it's the same way that's for us, that God promised us heaven. And it's a long journey that we have to go through.
Oh, yeah.
And there's generations throughout generations that have gone through. Jesus has left this earth well over 2,000 years according to our time. And His word's still living on, but His promise that He's going to come back again is going to happen.
Yeah.
And He promised us that, just like He promised Abraham what He promised him. That this land of milk and honey, this land of and He's promising us the same thing up in heaven, that we have to make heaven our home.
Yes.
But sometimes we allow fear to grip our hearts, and then we go one way or we go another. We look with our eyes on what we can see instead of looking with our heart eyes.
Amen.
In God. We have to start looking more in these last days with our eyes of our heart, not with our eyes what we visibly can
Amen.
See.
Amen.
We have to be able to look with this. It's okay that you see that it's scary. But knowing down in here that the heart eyes see Jesus, that Jesus is there. You see in the supernatural that God is with us. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He will be there until the end. He'll be our comforter and our guide. The Holy Spirit, he's been sent for us. We even have far much more than these Israelites have had. We're going to go into the chapter 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. When everything's good, we don't cry unto the Lord.
Yeah.
When everything's going our way, we don't cry unto the Lord. We think, oh, he delivers out of Egypt. He delivers out of this situation. But I want to tell you something about the enemy of our soul. He's not far behind from that situation that
Amen.
You were just delivered from. He wants to discourage you. He wants to rob you from that blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to steal that blessing. The last five nights or four nights that we've been here, he wants to steal that from you.
Yeah.
He's already has started already now. Well, we're on a Bible campground. He can't. Oh, yes, he can. And the only person that can let him do that is you.
Amen.
Don't let him steal that from you. Because you're looking with your eyes of the circumstance. Well, I still feel that pain, so I didn't get healed. No. Keep on believing. I didn't receive this because. Stop it. Don't let the enemy steal that
Amen.
And put fear in your heart that God's not God. He's only the king of darkness. He has no power.
Yeah,
the Bible tells us that he has no power. But yet we give the devil the power that we give him. He only has as much power in his life for in your life as you let him.
Yes.
As you let him.
Yeah.
Because in overall, God has all the power. He has more power than I. But at the same time, I only can be filled with God's Spirit as much as I let the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And we need to be full of His Spirit. Because that's the only way we can make it down through this world.
Right.
And then it also says, and they said unto Moses, because... Now let me think. Yeah. Verse 12. And is not the words that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for he hath been better to for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.
Amen.
This is something that we even become that. We become so complacent that it's just better for me to stay, not grow anymore, because the devil won't like it and he'll attack me. He's going to attack you no matter what.
Amen.
He might keep you satisfied for a while. But we don't want to go any further because we know that it's going to require more of us. Would I have backed out if I knew what God had required for my life? He brings us challenges sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're good. And it's the same way that we have to have the Holy Spirit there to help us.
Oh, yeah.
More than ever before. Because that's the only way we're really going to make it.
Right.
But they already had it preconceived in their mind that they were going to die in the wilderness. And I'm going to tell you, if you look throughout Scripture, they did.
Yeah.
But two. They did.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something right now that God brought out two. And in verse number 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see that thy salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you the today, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, for ever.
Amen.
And it's the same concept that the enemy of our soul, we will see him no more.
Oh, thank you, Father.
He might have you pinned up against this, but if you keep on serving God, you will see him no more.
Amen.
When we get to heaven, there's going to be a day that we're going to watch him walking the plank into hell.
My God.
We're going to see that, and he will be no more.
Right.
He will not be able to torment you no more.
Right.
That's his future.
Amen.
That is where he belongs, and that's his future. That's what the Bible tells us.
Right.
And it's God's word. And Moses,
yes.
I say, Moses said this. Well, I believe that he was being prompted by God to say this to these people, to encourage these people, because he was the leadership.
Right.
He was the leadership.
Yeah.
If you're in a church, get behind your leadership.
Oh, yeah.
He was the leadership, and I believe God was talking to him. And the next verse in chapter 4, or verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace.
Oh.
The Lord's going to fight with you.
Lord.
There's going to be times, I've even faced it, there's going to be times when you don't feel God there.
Yeah.
But
right.
You hold your peace because you know. Stop looking with these eyes, start looking with this eye. You know that he's going to be there. You know your scripture because the devil is a liar.
Right.
He wants to discourage you.
Right.
He's going to say, God don't care. See, where is he now? God don't care. Where is he now? That's how you're going to feel sometimes. And we've all been there. We've all felt that way.
Yes.
But there's a certain point in time that you have to say, I'm going to hold my peace. Because I know what the word of God says.
Right.
That he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
On,
he will
man.
Be with me until the end.
Right.
That is what God said. And he will fight our battles with us. He's alongside of us. But sometimes we have to do some work.
That's right.
We have to do a little bit of fighting ourselves. Sometimes we got to get on our hands and knees and we have to pray.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to go out. We can say, save this person, save this person, save this person. But sometimes God might say, you go tell them.
Yes, amen.
No, not me. They might hit me. Who cares? It's about their soul that you were talking about.
Amen.
They might not respond right. But if God called you and the Spirit of God says, go, you're not going to get the response that you think. Sometimes it might not be the one that you think you're going to get. Like, oh, you might have some resistance. Because we war not against flesh and blood.
Right.
Remember that. The devil will rise up. And if the same person that you're trying to help might be the same vessel that the devil chooses to use against
that's
you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But you still show compassion to them and understanding that it's not them. It's not their mouth. They're not looking at this mouth. They're talking from this mouth. Because what's lying inside of them is the enemy of their soul. And they're letting the enemy of their soul take that out of their mouth and say such things that attack you.
Amen.
And you have to show compassion and say, hey, that's okay if you don't like me. I still love you anyway. Because Jesus still loves them.
Amen.
It's their soul. We just got done with an extensive study in our little kids that they ranged anywhere from 4 years old, I think, or potty trained to about 12. And it was about creation. And we got to the last day about creation and how man was made. And literally, we take it for granted, and we know it's there, but we don't really stop and think about it. But what separates us from the animals, us as human beings? God took the time to create us, to make us, to form us in his image.
Yeah.
Let us create man in our image.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he came down and he created something, and then he just left it. No. He breathed. Air.
Yes.
Yeah.
He breathed into their nostrils. He breathed into Adam's nostrils. And now we have a living soul.
Yes.
Because things were good then. Everything was made good because it was pure. There was no sin in the world. It was made to live forever.
Yeah.
But then when sin came into the world,
that's right.
This flesh had to die. But there's one thing, because God's breath was breathed into man.
Yes.
The soul still will live forever because
Amen.
He's an eternal God and part of him will always be a part of all mankind.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And it will go somewhere.
Yeah.
But we become so complacent that we're not willing to do the work that needs to be done, even in our own life. Even we become lazy Christians sometimes. We get to a certain point that we just think that the Lord should just do everything.
Yeah.
But the Lord requires some things of us to do. He requires some effort from us.
Yeah.
When they sent the spies out, the 12 spies out through the land of Canaan, this land was already promised to them. God said it was theirs.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
All they had to do was just walk in and take it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, right.
But God wanted them to have a choice. So, hey, get some spies. Go spy out the land because you want to know what you're looking at. 10 of them come back. Well, there's giants in the land.
Right.
There's giant cities in the land.
Right.
There's great armies in the land. They're greater than we. I mean, all we've done is serve the Egyptians our whole entire life. All we know how to do is serve. These are men of war. These men know how to battle. I mean, this city fights this city, and I mean, you should see some of the stuff. It doesn't say nothing like that in the Bible, but you should understand how fear was gripping their heart. They were seeing some things. They were seeing the armies.
Yeah,
they were seeing the great walls. They were seeing the people and how big they were and how great the nations were. Then you had Caleb and Joshua that came back, and they looked at it from a different point of view. They seen the great big grapes. They seen the milk and the honey.
Yeah.
They seen all the blessings that God had for them. They were looking it through their spiritual eyes. The other 10 were just looking through their natural eyes.
Yes.
But the other two, those two last two, they were looking through the spiritual eyes.
Yeah.
And they were seeing how God was seeing it.
Yes, they were.
And they got through. They understood. And did you know that there's only two of them that went into that promised land at 10? Because they started saying, we can't do this. There was doubt in their heart. They didn't want to do the work. They didn't want to be willing to die for what they had to do. They didn't want to die for that. There's going to come a time in our life that maybe some of us that are sitting here today, we may have to die for the gospel's sake.
Amen.
That's right.
There's martyrs out there that are dying today as we speak. There's actually some countries, every hour someone dies in that country. We're learning that. There may become a time whenever we may have to be willing, like Stephen was willing.
Yeah, right.
We don't really want to.
No.
But if it's for our Savior and that's his purpose in our life, are we willing to? Are we willing to go do the work? Are we willing to fight the battle? Because we don't know what's like a supernatural battle. I thank God that Stephen went the way he went.
Oh, yeah.
You know why I thank God? Because if you read throughout the Bible, there was a wee little boy there that was holding the coast, and his name was Saul. Or Saul. Saul. Paul. Saul.
Yeah.
Saul. His name was Saul.
Yeah.
And he thought he was doing God's work whenever he became a young man. He's like, I just love the Lord. I want to work for the Lord.
Glory.
And I'll start killing these Christians.
Mother.
Well, he was making martyrs out of people. But eventually, God got a hold of them.
Yeah.
I wonder what Stephen was praying whenever he seen that wee little lad there standing with the goat. It came a certain point in time that God pointed out to Paul Saul, and he became Paul. And through his ministry, a lot of us Gentiles have come through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through his ministry, a lot of us have come through. But it started somewhere. Somebody was willing to sacrifice so we can have that great salvation that we have. There were people that were willing to sacrifice.
Right.
Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice his life on the cross so we can have that salvation.
Right.
Yeah.
So what so much more aren't we willing to do? But we don't want to do the extra work.
More now.
We get to the edge of the promised land, as you would say, and all that God has had passed for us, all the promises that God has for us, and we're looking in and we're like, I have to take down Jericho wall? That's impossible. I have to fight this battle. I have to fight against this giant. I have to fight against this city here and this great city over here in order to get this promise that God has for me. What's he thinking? He wants you to appreciate what he's given you somewhere.
Yes, amen.
Got to the point. They came back and they said this. So they chose to wander in the wilderness. And I think sometimes we get to that point in our walk, and we have to search ourselves sometimes, that we get to that walk with Him, and we get to the point that we walk with Him, and we say, Lord, I don't know. You're asking quite a bit of me. And there's so many Christians out there that they don't want to go the extra mile. They don't want to fight that battle.
Yes.
They just say, hey, I'm just going to wander in the wilderness. I'm not going to grow anymore. Because they're called growing pains. Spiritual growing pains.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Sometimes they hurt.
Yes, they do.
Some of those lessons that God teaches us, they hurt. I've had a few of them, and they hurt. They're a battle. Sometimes I have had a battle.
Right.
And it hurt.
Yeah.
But when I came out on the other side, it was so much better.
Amen. Yeah.
But we become so happy because we don't want it, that God might ask me to do this, or God might expect this, or God might put me through this, or God might do this, or God might do this, or this, or this. And I don't want to do it. I'll just be happy sitting in the pew and be a Sunday morning Christian, be a Sunday night Christian, and say amen. But I'm not willing to do anything else. I just, all I want to do is just come in, hear the word, and you never receive anymore because you don't want to receive anymore because you become satisfied where you were at.
Right.
Yeah.
Those Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt saying, hey, they at least had garlic there. They had seasonings. They had this. They had that there. They wanted to go back to their captivity.
Yeah.
No. We don't want to go back to our captivity. It comes at a great price. But I'm going to say something, that you have to hold on to those promises.
Yeah.
And you have to have that peace that God gives you, and truly get that peace.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you are sitting there and you're laying in bed at nighttime, and you have two people outside of your bedroom within 5 feet of your room fighting with machetes, you have to find peace somewhere and sleep.
Yeah.
Or when you hear somebody trying to break into your back door, that house that you're living in, because their intentions are to come to rob you, and you find that peace, say, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing else I can do. Lord, you're going to have to protect me, and roll over and go back to sleep. That's called finding that peace that everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
It's called finding that peace that everything is going to be all right, because it's in the Lord's hand.
Right.
Everything is in the Lord's hand. He will take care of us. It's called finding that peace.
Yeah.
And we have to find that peace because the Lord will fight our battles.
Right. Yeah.
But if we can't find that peace,
that's...
you have to find that kind of peace that you have. And know your God and what He's capable of as well.
Yeah.
You get into Joshua chapter 14. We're going to go into 14. Chapter 14, verse 10. And it says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, this 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while I, the children of Israel, wandered in the wilderness, and now I am this day 45 years old.
Hallelujah.
Now, if we do the math, it puts him around close to 85 years old.
Yeah.
So, you're talking about a man that's 85 years old. Now, we're looking here. I know we have two of them that are in their 80s. I can look right straight in the eye of them. They're definitely hitting 80. They are 85 and above.
Yeah.
One and two. Spiritually, I think they're strong.
Yeah.
And the Lord's been with them.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
And it's only through the Lord's strength that they are still strong spiritually.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But we're talking about a man who was 85 years old, and God kept him. He was still able to walk. He was still able to fight. And if you look throughout the Bible, it was one of the last battles, I believe, that was given in the land. And it said, Caleb was one of those ones who he believed what he believed, couldn't change him. He was willing to do the fight. He was willing to do the fighting until the end. And because he was willing to fight till the end, God never left him.
Hallelujah.
He kept his peace, and God maintained his strength. God gave him that strength at 85 years old.
Yes.
He still was walking, and he still was running. And I have to believe as they were going through the land of Canaan, that he was fighting every battle that there was. He was like, pick me, Joshua, I want to go. And fighting, and fighting, and fighting, and fighting. Until it came a time to where he spied out the land, and he trod it. And it still wasn't taken, and it was on a mountain. And you have to understand something, that battles were fought differently back then.
Yeah.
They were fought with swords and bows and arrows and stuff like this. So they had to go up a hill. So who has the upper advantage?
Yeah.
The guy that's up on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
He has the upper advantage.
Yes.
So Caleb was going to do, wanted to do something crazy. Completely insane, especially for a man of his age. But he said, the Lord give it to me. And he gave me the strength that I have today. And I'm not going to waste that strength and put it to waste. I'm going to keep on fighting until the end. Until all of the land is ours.
Amen.
As long as he had the strength, he kept on fighting. And he said, let me have that mountain. And guess what? Joshua blessed him, and they went, and they took the mountain.
Yeah. That's right.
But there was some work that was involved.
Yes.
There was some work and some serious commitment.
Yeah.
That man was committed.
Yeah.
Caleb was committed to what he wanted. Right. He was committed to that.
Yeah.
He was fully committed. Yeah. Another man you know throughout the Bible, and you wouldn't even think of him, that was committed to God's word. He heard it. And he believed it. He sunk it in. And he got it.
Hallelujah.
And you know who this man was? And we would never think of it. Joseph. Joseph. We don't really read the Bible the whole way through to really understand it. He was another man that received that promise. Because he knew. After the land was taken, there's a scripture in there where it says, and they took the bones of Joseph and buried them in the promised land.
Yes.
Because, yes, he was the greatest ruler that there was throughout Egypt. But a Pharaoh that knew him not enslaved them.
Yeah.
And he said on his deathbed, surely the Lord will visit thee and remember my bones. And did the Lord fail him?
No.
No, he did not. He took them. They drugged them through the wilderness. Because he held fast to the word of the Lord. And we as Christians, more than ever today, we have to hold fast to God's word and his promises that he has for us, for all of us. And it is very important, but we have to find that peace that we have throughout as our walk, that we may have that peace. It is an essential thing that we find that peace in the Lord, to know that God's going to take care of it. The devil comes as a roaring lion. He wants to scare you. He's a great intimidator. He puffs himself up. Down in Dominica, they have these lizards. And whenever they get scared or something, they puff themselves up to be something that they're not. Even a blowfish does it. They get real big.
Yeah.
And they look intimidating. But they're really not that intimidating.
Yeah.
They bite you and you're looking at it and they're like, that didn't even hurt. That's kind of like the devil has with us Christians. He can puff himself up like a roaring lion, but he has no teeth.
Yeah.
You can hear his great roar, but he has no teeth. I had a cat. Took his front claws out because he clawed the furniture. Gave him his back claws. He knew how to use those. But the point was when he felt intimidated and he wanted to fight, he knew intimidation. He knew how to intimidate me. I knew he had no front claws. But if I was going to shove my hand down into that bush, and the way he sounded, I mean, I would probably want to go pet a Rottweiler. Because he was pretty intimidating. Because I didn't want to stick my hand down there. Because I was afraid of what he was capable of. He sounded more intimidating than a Rottweiler did. He's like, and I was like, And I knew that he didn't have those front claws that really hurt. And he wasn't afraid to fight. But that's what the devil does. He uses intimidation even though he can't do anything. And that's what the devil wants to do, is steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your blessings. He wants to steal your promise. Because I want to tell you something, folks, right now. The devil was up in heaven. He knows what's waiting for you, and he's jealous because he knows it.
Amen.
He knows he'll never be able to set foot again and walk those streets of gold like he used to. He'll never be able to sit next to God like he was. He'd never be able to be up there and sing to God like he was. Because
that's
he was
right.
fallen. Yeah. And he doesn't want you to receive that. He knows way too much. Yeah. He wants to steal it from you.
Hallelujah.
He wants to steal your blessing
from
you. This is why it's important that we find that peace inside of the Lord and let him fight our battles for us.
Amen.
Sometimes we have no control over circumstances. Absolutely no control. There comes an important time in our lives. There's certain things that we just don't have control over. And we just have to let them go. But we have to surrender that to him and learn how to submit. Caleb and Joshua, they didn't get where they were. They submitted unto Moses. Until Moses' time was.
Yeah.
Then Joshua took over. And then Caleb submitted unto Joshua. And he received his promise.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to learn as Christians, that we have to submit. I have to submit to my pastor. I have to submit to those who are placed over me. As part of ME, I have to submit to Brother Frazier, because he's the president of NEA. I have to submit and follow my leadership. And I'm talking, as long as our leadership is digging inside of this word and not going against this word. When they start doing that, I think it's time for you to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't go against the word.
Right.
If they're going against this word, then you need to find a church that's going to stay with this word.
Amen.
Because this is the final word.
Yeah.
What God said is going to be final. When we read in Revelation, that's going to be the finalness.
Glory.
If he said he was coming back, he's going to be coming back.
Yes, amen.
But we just don't want to be walking in the wilderness no more. We don't need to be wandering through the wilderness when Jesus comes back.
Amen.
He's going to say, hey, I had this for you, and this wonderful gift for you, and you never received it. Why? You never fought that battle. Why? I meant so much for you. Does a father give me something? Does a father give something bad to his child? He's our Heavenly Father. He only intends us for good. But sometimes parents like to give us blessings.
Yeah.
God, oh boy. God teaches some lessons sometimes.
Amen.
And sometimes they're hard lessons.
Yeah,
sometimes
right.
he had to teach me some compassion for how he loves people and how he sees people.
Oh.
But guess what? I had to go through some things to understand that, to truly understand God's love and his mercy that he has. And then in return to be able to show that to somebody else. It came at a price. But I would not change a thing. Because all that matters is those after that lesson is over with, the people that I can touch from that lesson and help with that lesson and show compassion to that individual is very important. But we have to let the Lord fight our battles overall. Just remember that we have to have that peace to let the Lord fight our battles for us, and not let the enemy steal what he has for us.
Amen.
And hold on to God's word and hold on to his promises that God has for us. Don't let the enemy steal them. Can't meet him. I believe God's going to be giving us some more lessons. God is going to be giving us a lot more blessings.
Yeah.
You grab a hold of those blessings and you don't let the enemy of your soul steal them, because they're not his. They are yours.
Amen.
They were given to you by God.
Yes.
Don't let no one steal those blessings from you. And just remember that. We don't want to be Christians no more. From this day forward, I don't want to be a Christian anymore that's going to wander through the wilderness, because I don't want to fight that battle.
Amen.
I'm not willing to jump up there and do what's asked of me. You know, sometimes it comes or it makes you feel awkward. Getting up here is awkward sometimes. People say, oh, I don't want to be up here. It's awkward sometimes, just getting started. The ones who speak know what I'm talking about. All the eyes are on you. It's hard sometimes, just getting started sometimes, or you're afraid you're going to mess up. But it's the Lord's work, and He will take care of it.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't know what God's going to have for you. Recently in my church, it's awkward. It's different. It's but I just have to take one step in front of it. My pastor has me every other Sunday take care of a children's church where we get to teach the Old Testament. I get to teach the Old Testament to the kids during church service. We have their own little church service up there, and they do that. And it's an adventure for me because it's something different.
Yeah.
And I have to learn as I go sometimes. But with God's help, He will help me with that. And I said that to encourage you that when you decide that I'm no longer going to be all these other folks that were the naysayers, and I'm going to start being the Joshua and the Caleb, and I'm going to go fight the battle. You know, you will have that. You're not alone. We feel the same way. But we just get up and we just do it.
Amen.
Because it's for God's glory that we do it. And that more souls make it into heaven is why we do it. It's for no other reason but to lift God's name up. To lift Jesus' name up high.
Thank you, Lord.
All for that. And that we hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battle.
Oh, yeah.
Brother David.